see everyone out. I will say it is a little bit nice to know that there's someone else in the crowd whose heart's beating as fast as mine tonight. A little comforting. Maybe that's sick and twisted, I don't know. But tonight, I was kind of wondering what I'd like to share with everyone tonight. And I've been reading the book of 1 Kings lately and kind of thought that I'd like to share some... Ooh, man, is that too close or am I good? I got the thumbs up, all right. Kind of thought I might like to share something about Solomon. And I was just reading through the other night and a little passage caught my eye and I've kind of been thinking on it a bit. So I'll get you turned to 1 Kings chapter 17. We'll start reading it in verse 1. It says, "Now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbi in Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word.' And the word of the Lord came to him, 'Depart from here and turn eastward, and hide yourself by the brook of Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there.' So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, and he went and lived by the brook Cherith, that is east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. And after a while the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'Arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you.' So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, 'Bring me a little water in a vessel, that I may drink.' And as she was going to bring it, he called her and said, 'Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand.' And she said, 'As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die.' And Elijah said to her, 'Do not fear, and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterward make something for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth.' And she went and did as Elijah said. And she and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah." That's all we'll read for now. So tonight I was kind of been on my heart lately. Just the idea of serving God. And I looked up the definition of serve just to kind of, because it gave a good generalization of it for what I want to talk about tonight. The definition is to perform duties or services for another person or an organization. Tonight I'd like to talk about serving, but not specifically serving in one way, but just in general, how we as Christians can serve God in every way, in every aspect of our lives. So we have this story here. The Lord tells Elijah there's going to be a drought in the land, and Elijah brings that report to the king and says, until God says there's going to be rain, there will be none. And that ended up happening for 3.5 years. There was a massive drought. So God sends Elijah off to this place. He says, there's going to be this quiet little place. You'll have water, and the ravens will bring, you'll have food provided for you, and the ravens will bring him meat morning and evening. And it sounds kind of gross, but I guess when you got no other options, you do what you can. And then just the brook dries up by circumstance of the drought, and God instructs Elijah to go to Zarephath, for he commanded a woman to feed him there. That's what kind of caught my eye, is that God commanded this woman to feed him, but she didn't know it at the time that God had commanded her to do it, until she was put in a situation where she could serve this prophet. So the question that kind of came to my mind as I was thinking about that a little bit was, are we ready to serve God? She wasn't expecting necessarily to be called out by a prophet that day. She was gathering her sticks so she could basically go eat her last meal and her son could die. It was just a day she didn't expect to meet this man, let alone to have to bring him water and some food. But if she was expecting something like this to happen, surely she would have had something made for this man. So maybe sometimes God uses situations that we don't expect to be used in to strengthen our faith a little bit. It would have been pretty easy for her to brush him off because she didn't have any of the ingredients required. She didn't have enough to share with him, but that's not the case. She followed the instructions through faith. So what is required of us when God is looking to use us? Well, first of all, we have to be prepared, right? It's important for a Christian to be prepared to serve, but then the question is, how do we do that? And a lot of it's the simple things we hear all the time, reading our Bibles. actively reading and memorizing, especially, which is, I think, a lot of us struggle to commit ourselves to doing sometimes, memorizing scripture and studying so that put in a situation, whether it be sharing the gospel with someone or putting taking someone into our home or just saying an encouraging word to someone, that we know how to best glorify God in that situation as he's instructed us in his word. He has a certain approach to particular situations, and he's got them all wrapped up in this book for us to read. So it's important for us to be in the scriptures reading and memorizing those situations and how best to glorify God. And also through prayer, we should be praying for opportunities to serve God. And we should know that, fully expect that if we ask for a chance to serve God, he's going to provide a situation. So we shouldn't be surprised when one comes if it's what we're asking for. If we are, maybe we're not really truthfully asking for it. We don't really want it to happen. But that shouldn't be the case. He'll answer us with an opportunity. And if we are constantly praying, it puts us in the proper mindset of being prepared for that chance because we're expecting it to come. And also listening to the Holy Spirit. That's another tough one because we tend to get in our own way. We should be actively looking for ways to serve. The Spirit will certainly guide us and prick our hearts and show us ways that we can serve God and glorify him through our actions and through our words. But we certainly don't want to be just waiting for an opportunity to fall into our laps. But although that does happen sometimes, it's probably not the right way to live our lives. We should be going out every day and deciding to look for a way. How will I glorify God today? How will I encourage this person today or share God's word with someone today? If we're just waiting for opportunities, we probably will miss a lot of them that are presented to us. So we want to be prepared, but also we have to be willing. These things kind of go hand in hand. We could be the most prepared person who's ever lived on the face of the earth to glorify God, but if we're not ready to put it into practice, it's not a whole lot of good. It's kind of like the relationship that faith and works has, we read about in James. One is dead without the other. So what stops us from being willing, I guess, is the question, whether it be fear. We read in the passage today, Elijah said to the woman, "Do not fear." We heard about this morning from Dwight. That was one of his quotes. Laziness, that's a big thing. It's pretty easy sometimes just to avoid the situation because we don't want to. Maybe it's outside our comfort zone. We don't want to be uncomfortable. And every time I think about that, I know I've said it before up here, but I remember Grant Canfield saying one Wednesday night downstairs, just playing out, saying, God is not the least bit concerned with our comfort zone. He wants to push us out of there because if he was, we wouldn't be very effective for him. Or maybe we're concerned with losing our time. All these things that can stop us from being willing. The devil uses them. He certainly can find what pushes our buttons, and he can make us very ineffective for God. I was thinking the irony of it, of kind of preparing thoughts for tonight and thinking about that, like what stops me from being willing to do things sometimes. And I was thinking Jacques was kind of getting after me about getting up here to speak, and just kind of it didn't work out one weekend, and I thought maybe he'll forget to ask me, and then he's just trying to get in here Sunday morning, shaking his hand, head down. It doesn't work. He's too persistent. But that's something that I struggle with, is just wanting to do it. But and I know everyone here could relate to that. It's just easier not to. But it's not what we're called to do, and it's not the appropriate attitude to have. And ultimately, it comes down to a battle inside of us, doesn't it? A battle in between the ears. Whether we actually want to serve, whether it's a decision we have to make, and it only takes a split second for us to decide one way or another, yes or no. And then by that point, a lot of the times the opportunity is lost. So God wants willing servants. If he'll never force us to do anything, but he's not going to be able to use someone who doesn't want to be used either. To relate a little bit, you think of someone who maybe is working in a company and they don't want to be at their job. They don't want to be doing it. They show up every day. Maybe we're like that too. We show up and we go to the meetings, and we do read our Bibles, but outside of that, we're not really active for God. The employee who just shows up and does his job but hates being there, they're not a whole lot of use to their boss usually. They may be doing just the bare minimum, but a lot of the times they're not doing the work that they're getting paid to do, so they're not very profitable, and that's the problem with that. We want to be profitable for God. The Bible tells us not to quench the Spirit. So we want to be both prepared and willing. Like you said before, one without the other will be no good. They have to work in perfect harmony together. About a month or a month and a half ago, we were in a first aid course for the day, and we were going through, it was an 8-hour course or something like that, and for work, for insurance purposes mostly, but the idea that they're teaching it so people are going to be able to help someone in a situation. You could have every action that you need memorized, and you could have it laid out perfectly. You'd be able to tell someone to do maybe, but if you're in a situation where someone needs first aid and you're not willing to give it to them, well, why did you bother going spending the 8 hours in a classroom learning how to do it? It's not a whole lot of good. So if we're not prepared, we can't serve God, and if we're not willing, we can't serve God either. We need both, and certainly we need to rely on Him for those things. So in our story here, the question also kind of came to my mind, what if we don't have the means? And by that I mean the widow, she didn't have the means to serve Elijah the way that he asked her to. She didn't have the proper ingredients, she didn't have enough of the food that he needed. So in our lives, what if we don't necessarily have the means to? Often we are put in a situation, or we put ourselves in a situation where maybe we make excuses. We like to get out of responsibilities a lot of the time, and it applies to our everyday life and our spiritual life. And it really takes an honest look at ourselves to determine why we do this. And it's different for every person. Our motivations are different, but it can be a test of our willingness, but also a test of our faith. Our faith can be tested in many ways, and in our stories, the faith in instructions God gave her through Elijah, to be able to simply just do what God says. It sounds easy, and it's laid out for us in the Bible, but to put it into practice is a difficult thing by times. So it would have been very believable for her to just up and walk away, knowing what was asked of her was physically impossible, but she chose to believe in what Elijah told her and the instructions that she was given. And it just kind of brought to mind a story here. Well, everyone, I think a lot of us have heard the story about George Mueller, and specifically, maybe you've heard the story before, I don't know, but I just like to read it's a couple paragraphs here. George Mueller was a Christian. He was serving in Germany. He was running an orphanage for children, and he had about 300 children in this orphanage, and he would spend his time with them and also preaching the gospel. So this story goes, the children are dressed and ready for school, but there's no food for them to eat. The house mother of the orphanage informed George Mueller. George asked her to take the 300 children to the dining room and have them sit at tables. He thanked God for the food and waited. George knew God would provide for the children, as he always did, and within minutes, a baker knocked on the door. Mr. Mueller, he said, last night I could not sleep. Somehow I knew that you would need bread this morning. I got up and baked 3 batches for you. I will bring it in. Soon there was another knock at the door. It was the milkman. His cart had broken down in front of the orphanage, and the milk would spoil by the time the wheel was fixed. He asked George if he could use some free milk, and George smiled as the milkman brought in 10 large cans of milk. It was just enough for the 300 thirsty children. Little stories like that certainly make me wonder how much faith we really have, and to be able to just sit down at a table like that with a bunch of kids and just wait and have them all kind of wondering, like, oh, what's going on? Where's the food? And just knowing that God would provide, it's a bold statement through action, and certainly God would be brought glory through that, and to just rely on Him to provide. It is really amazing. So often our faith is the root of our attitude and our willingness. Little faith can equal poor attitude. We need faith that God will bring opportunity, and faith that He will guide us through the through those times, and faith that He will also be glorified through it. So what if we do have the means? We live in a country that is extremely blessed, and somehow with all the things that we have, we're left wanting more and more, and the things that we have, we want to make them nicer or updated, and the newest thing, we put thousands and thousands of dollars into just updates and things that we don't necessarily need, but it's just kind of cultural, and we want it. So if we have the means to serve God in that way, we have lots of possessions and money and food and all these things, how are we using them? Are we using our homes to invite people in for maybe a meal? Our cars to maybe drive someone to a meeting or drive them home from a meeting or something like that? Or even our money to God's glory? Because the reality is, for us, being thankful is not enough. And it's a good thing to be thankful and to appreciate all the things that God has given to us. But if we're not using the things that God has given to us for His glory, there's not a whole lot of point in us having them. So the question should be, how do I use this for God's glory? We think of the story of the New Testament. We were in Luke at the Bible study, and a few weeks ago talked about the widow's mite. She had absolutely nothing to give as far as most of the rest of the city was concerned. She gave the smallest amount possible. Most people would probably look at it and figure, why would you even bother? It's not worth giving. But the Lord Jesus commended her because that was all that she had and she gave it. So we have many ways to serve, whether it be what we talked about, using our possessions, or also using our good attitudes, good Christian attitudes that we should have, and to encourage both people who are saved and to come alongside someone who's unsaved, that we could share the gospel with them. Time's clicking along. I guess this also begs the question, whose strength do we serve? And it's a fairly obvious answer. Everything we do is for God, is through both His guidance and His strength. If we can truly let go of our desires and our motivations, we'll have more opportunities to serve God. And it'll be easier to return glory to Him if we're doing that too. Sometimes we'd like to get in our own way and get in God's way as well, and just kind of need to step aside and let Him do His thing, or let Him do His work through us. He's given us spiritual gifts to use for Him and for His glory. And if we never find our gift, we've wasted a tremendous chance to serve Him. If it were up to us, we would likely kind of float right through life, maybe living a little bit in the world and also in the Christian life, playing both parts and enjoying both aspects. But that's not what we're called to. God's not really looking for lukewarm Christians, is He? We read about that in Revelation, how He spits them out of His mouth. It's disgusting to Him. So we're not a whole lot of good unless we've decided that we do want to serve Him. So when you boil it all down, it kind of comes down to a choice that we have to make. Do you or do you not want to serve God? Every day we wake up and we have to answer that question whether we realize it or not. And sometimes we fall into this pattern of saying, not today, not today, not today. And we tend to become lukewarm that way. We become numb to having to make that decision every day because it's easier not to. And after being lukewarm for too long, we can become numb to read our Bible. We don't feel like we're getting anything out of it anyway, so it's easy to not to, or to pray. We don't feel worthy, maybe, to serve God because we're not doing well in our spiritual lives, but we know that in the book of Psalms it says He does not judge us according to our iniquities. He has sent His Son to die on a cross that we may be fully covered for all eternity, and that's how He sees us. It's not based on performance and how we're doing, but based on our love for Him and our desire to serve Him. An adult makes about 35,000 decisions each day. So the question is, who is driving the decision making? And obviously some of those are pretty small decisions, like what you're going to have for breakfast, but is it us or the Holy Spirit driving those decisions that we're making every day? Are we doing all those little things for God? Because it translates, if we're doing the small things, the big things will follow. If we make the decision to serve God in all we do, we must live prayerful and selfless lives. So let go and step out of the way and let God do His work through us. We truly are blessed that He chose not only to save us, but to use us for His work. And there's no situations that we can't serve Him. And just to kind of wrap things up, the thing I was thinking about today, we were sitting at home and we're taking in the Flyers and Penguins hockey game. It's playoff time. And I was thinking, a lot of our spiritual life is kind of like the relationship between a coach and a hockey player. The player's sitting on the bench, he's waiting for his turn for his shift, and he's waiting for that tap on the shoulder from the coach to say, yep, you're up. And he's going to go out in the ice and he's going to put his shift in. If he doesn't put a good, hard shift in, give all he's got, that next tap on the shoulder is not going to come in the next 2 minutes. It might be the next 10 minutes. He's going to let him sit because he didn't put effort in. So the question for us is, are we ready for that tap on the shoulder from God to say, this is a chance for you to serve me? Are we going to pursue that, actively looking for it, excited for the next time that it comes along, and using every opportunity in our lives to bring Him glory? So hopefully that's just a short little blurb on that passage. It's encouraging to know that as we can just read a little story and meditate on it, can bring all these thoughts to mind and hopefully draw us closer to God. So I'll just give Thomas the rest of the meeting.